All right, shall we get into this week's episode of the Wild and Vile Case File Files?
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram. Please like and subscribe below. I think just subscribe and rate us five
or
stars.
On Spotify.
Yes. All right, so this week I want to cover Lacey Peterson, the death of Lacey Peterson. Do you remember this at all? Around like 2002, we would have been quite young, but...
No, I don't remember it happening, and I also have no idea what happened at all, but I know... of this, like, I know that there's like things about it and that it's like a big deal. Like, I've heard of it, but I don't really know any details.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so as I was watching, because I was watching like a 2020, it's really how I've been finding my cases lately, is whatever Hulu is like, hey, watch this 2020 about a murdered girl. I'm like, I'm in. And then, so this is another one where I was watching it. And so Lacey Peterson, I do remember the name, like Lacey and Scott Peterson.
Same, yeah.
And I remember like seeing the news of like her missing. And then as I was watching the 2020 on it, it had big Gone Girl vibes. Like, this whole case has big Gone Girl vibes, and I was reading that. Gillian Flynn, the author of Gone Girl and a couple other books, was like, there might be similarities, but, like, my writing style. And it's like, bitch, you totally took from this. Like, he literally looks like Ben Affleck, and everything up until, like, her coming back and quote-unquote Gone Girling him is, like, this case to a T. So, keep it up, Gillian Flynn. I've read your later work. It's not good.
Oh my gosh, I read Sharp Objects and I really liked it.
I never read that one, but I read like half of Girl on the Train and it was bad.
That, her too?
That was trash, yeah.
And I have talked about that movie multiple times to Kyle, mostly because the girl in it is an alcoholic. Like,
all of her characters are. I thought Sharp Objects was one of the worst HBO shows.
Oh, I heard the show wasn't as good at all.
No, it was terrible.
I watched like the first two episodes.
Yeah. It's one of those miscast. Like, you can't just have Amy Adams. Yeah, it was. I didn't think Amy Adams was the right choice. Like, she was just like mad and drinking the whole time, and like they kept dropping other things of like, this is happening, but they just like focused her in a hotel room being drunk, and like, it was just not.
Yeah.
It was not good.
But the book was really fucked up and really good.
That I could see. I did like the book Gone Girl. I listened to it and I was like, this is very enticing. But I still hold up that I wish that she actually killed herself and didn't come back in the book. Or that the movie, in the movie, I always wish it ended where you just find out that she's alive and they don't like go on to explain the last like year of her life. Like, I never liked that. And
who
like,
is
I got,
that? It's not Blake Lively, is it?
No, it's Rosamund Pike. I always call her the annoying fish lady. Although I really like her, and like, I've rewatched Gone Girls a couple of times now, because in college we watched it, or like someone did a whole presentation of how it's so good. Oh, I thought that was music, but it just sounded. I thought it was so good, and I watched it, and I was like, this movie straight up wasn't good compared to like all these other noir movies we were watching. And I've rewatched it like 3 times since then, and I like it more and more every time.
Yeah, I remember liking it. I only saw it once, and I very loosely remember what happened. Something with Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Yeah. God, I was going to do that. Damn it. I keep, like, telling you, and then instead of doing it, but I was going to tell you the entire plot of Gone Girl and then get into the Lacey. Damn it. I keep, like, ruining my good bit. I'm going to do it someday, though, where I tell Sean, like, an entire plot to a movie and then, like, be like, okay, that's not our case. That's Gone Girl.
My dumbass would fall for it, too,
even if
I already saw the movie.
I was going to do it when on our heist when I was going to do the entire, like, scene-by-scene of Italian Job, which I could literally do off the top of my head. I love that movie. And then I, like, told Sean about it instead. I was like, oh, that'd be so funny. But I'm even if you're annoying about it, I'm going to get you.
Go for it.
But, yes, that's I would say Gone Girl is, like, a 7 out of 10.
I put it up there, but that's, like, my type of shit. Like, some weird suspense thriller type stuff.
I just really like Ben Affleck.
I honestly confuse him with Ben Stiller. Isn't Ben Affleck, like, canceled? He's weird, right? Yeah. No, he was. He was, like, messaging people on Instagram and saying weird things.
He was dating, like, on Raya, like, the dating app. No, he is pretty normal, and he's also single if he wants to be, like, messaging girls. I never like those posts. It's, like, shaming people for, like, talking to them, even if they are famous. Like, the creepy ones, yes, get them, slay them, but...
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Like, sometimes people take it too far. It's like they're just being people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, no, I think Ben Affleck's, like, one of the, like, it was surprising, but he, like, never got Me Too'd or anything.
I swear to God he did. He messaged some girl
his
some
brother
weird
did.
Shit on Instagram. I swear to God. Okay, now we're taking a pause because I need to...
That's fine. But no, there was the whole thing on... like, it was a Instagram or, like, a TikTok going around where he messaged a girl on Raya. And she's like, you're not Ben Affleck. And then he's like, Naya, it's me. And then, like, sends her a video.
Yes.
And then she posted it. And then that was when it's like, well, bitch, like, you're talking to him on a dating app. Like, why would you, like, light him up? That was a really funny video. That was before he was back with Jayla. J-Lo.
Yeah. Just instantly made me think of my niece. So I was like, what? Okay, yeah, you're right. That's the Instagram thing I was thinking of.
Yeah. Well, and, like, they were doing that to, like, him, Matt Damon, and, like, George Clooney were, like, the whole, during the Me Too, like, for every interview, they'd be, like, what's your opinion on it? And, like, trying to, like, bait them, like, goading them into saying something for a headline that, like, happened every time of, like, oh, I don't really believe I have anything to say, but they don't believe what's happening. Like, they don't believe women. But, yeah, like, they do it all the time still. And it's, like, you read him, like, oh, that's literally not what he said at all.
Yeah, they're just trying to avoid controversy. Like, pulled him into it anyways.
Which is, I kind of like that when they do it on podcasts. Like, well, that's the quote. Like, that's our full quote. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Have you seen the TikTok audio that was, like, it's, I don't even know if this is real or staged, but the guy's like, I love gay people. What about you guys? Are you homophobic? Podcasters, like, don't say anything for a little bit. And they're like, well, Emma is. And, like, that one kid just throws the other girl under the bus.
Good.
It reminds me of the SNL skit with Taylor Swift from a long time ago where they're like, laugh. And she's like, ha. And they're like, laugh harder. And she's like, ha, ha, ha. They're like, harder. And she goes, ha, ha, ha. And then they're like, they show a clip of the interview. They're like, Taylor Swift, has she finally cracked? And it's just a clip of her laughing like insane.
I don't know. I don't think I've said anything yet.
Lacey Peterson.
Yes. So we're covering the story of Lacey Peterson. Lacey Peterson was born Lacey Rocha on May 5th, 1975. She was a cheerleader during junior high and high school. Sorry, we call it middle school where I'm from.
Yeah, same.
And after graduating Thomas Downey High School, not to be confused with Robert Downey Jr. High School, which I kept reading and writing.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, God.
She attended California Polytechnic State University, where she majored in ornamental horticulture, which is like you make ornaments of cows. I really don't know what that is.
Yeah, that sounds like Christmas trees.
Horticulture. Yeah, I could have looked it up, but I have not. So during this time, Lacey would sometimes visit her friend who worked at a restaurant in Morro Bay called Pacific Cafe. There, she met her friend's coworker, Scott Peterson, in mid-1944.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you for the effect. Lacey made the first move, sending Scott her phone number, and immediately after meeting him, she told her mother that she had met the man she would marry.
What a modern girl.
I know. Scott later called Lacey, and they began dating. Their first date being a deep sea fishing trip, which Lacey got very seasick on.
Ew, what a terrible first date. I would kill somebody.
I would love to go out on a boat and like go. That'd be such a fun day because they're in San Francisco. Absolutely. Like Modesto area.
Okay, no, I mean, obviously this is like a true crime thing, but this is like, and they get married or whatever the fuck, but would you really go on a first date on an isolated boat with a man? There's okay, no fucking way.
No.
There's no exit. You can't be like, oh, you know what? My mom just called. I gotta go. Like, you have to take the boat back to shore.
Okay, that's true. And I feel like it's hard to, like, do those kind of things and, like, not know someone. Because, like, you don't know how it's gonna go. Like, this is why I stay in my house.
Like, it's cute in a rom-com, but in real life, you are probably gonna die. Or get weird vibes.
Okay. You know, I get that point.
Yeah. Not happening for me.
I was a little fishy about it at first, but I'm on board.
Yeah.
Double boat pun. So as the relationship grew more serious, Scott put aside his dreams of professional golf in order to focus on business, which honestly, I feel like that means he went into business and stopped golfing really because every single day. Yeah. Like, I don't know if he was ever, like, I didn't look up his scores or anything, but I don't know how good a golf Scott Peterson was. But they dated for 2 years and eventually moved in together and got engaged. Scott and Lacey got married in August 1997, and around the time they had both been both graduated from college. And then after graduation, they opened a sports bar in San Luis Obispo, which honestly, I had no idea, like, that was three words, San Luis Obispo, but it's probably one of my favorite things I've ever said.
I've never even heard of it.
I've heard of it, and then she's like, I wonder where that is, and then or like how that's spelled, but San Luis Obispo.
What does San stand for? Do you know? Why is everything in California and, like,
well,
why
Sans,
San Antonio?
Sans is without. Texas, but. And San, I think, is the.
Alexa, what does San mean? Not San. Alexa, stop. Google it like a fucking loser.
Siri. So they say, well, there's San Jose, San Antonio. So it's probably Hispanic in some way, because California is pretty Hispanic too. Also, what is Santa? What's the deal with that? Oh. Santa Monica, Santa Clarita.
Do you want to go back on this? But because it means saint.
Oh, is that what Santa means too?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I didn't know. But yeah, it's San. It's Saint. That makes sense.
That doesn't make so much sense. So if we want to be like
Saint Louis Obispo,
a little bit of flair, San Luis Park.
Yeah.
San Paul.
Yeah, let's get some diversity in Minnesota. Yeah. And so they opened the sports bar called The Shack. So business was slow at first and then later picked up around the weekends. But in 2001, the couple sold The Shack and moved back to Modesto in Lacey's hometown and start a family. They bought a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom bungalow for $177,000, which they said high class, but like even in California, that is really cheap in like 2001. Cause that's like 2008, I would say around like the housing crisis, but like 2002 Modesto, that's really cheap for a house, isn't it?
Yeah. You said 2-bedroom, 1-bath?
3-bedroom, 2-bathroom bungalow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's insanely fucking cheap.
And they were saying it's like an upscale neighborhood, and like, I'm sure it is, but like, I'm sure you would hope now it's probably around like $1 million because every house in California is, but that like threw me up. Like, that seems so cheap for a house.
How is inflation happening that fast? That was literally like 25 years ago.
I know. So Lacey worked as a substitute teacher, and Scott got a job at a fertilizer company as a salesperson. So the couple obviously lived in Modesto for a little while. And then Christmas Eve 2002, Lacey was 7.5 months pregnant with the couple's first child. That morning, the couple had eaten breakfast together and made plans to kind of go their separate ways and then meet back up later that day to go to her mother's house for Christmas Eve. So Scott went to go fishing and like go to his storage unit, get his boat, go out on the water. And Lacey brought her dog for a walk. Neighbors noted that she had been seen going out for the walk and going towards the local park, and that was the last time she was ever seen alive.
Okay, well, I have problems with the way you narrated this. You said pregnant with their first child. Are they going to have more, or she's missing, right?
That's fair. But, like, she was pregnant. I hadn't noted that they had kids or not kids. It was my first time mentioning the children and first time mentioning the entire pregnancy. So
I'm just fucking
How the English language works of past tense, present tense. Not really needed when I haven't mentioned the child yet. So, yeah, this would be her first pregnancy.
And last,
yes.
So you could say their last child. He clearly had no golf career because he has switched career paths like 4 times in this story.
Yeah, business owner, and like he went to school for horticulture as well, and like agriculture, but I guess that makes sense for fertilizer, so like you knew about farms and stuff.
Yes,
for like a large scale, but yeah,
maybe for growing grass on a golf course
perhaps.
Sorry,
he wishes. No, he had to give it up, Sean. It doesn't matter how good he was. So Scott returns home around 3 p.m. and assumed her and Lacey obviously wasn't home, but he had assumed that she had gone to her mother's house. Kind of not worrying about it, he decides to do some laundry, take a shower, get something to eat, and eventually calls over to Lacey's mom's house to like say, "Hey, is Lacey there?" She goes, "No, I haven't seen her." And so hours pass, and by the next day, Lacey's stepfather reports her missing. At first, a $25,000 reward is issued, which eventually increases to $500,000.
Okay.
So over 4 months, 1,500 volunteers begin searching for Lacey all over the Modesto and San Francisco Bay Area. Scott is questioned by police and considered a person of interest. And changing his story from when he was fishing, like that he was going fishing, doing some work, checking emails, whatever he was doing, saying that, and then there's the whole thing where he was said that he went out in his boat, and they can prove that he went on his boat, but he went around like 9 a.m. and people who fish say like no one would ever be going to fish at like 9 a.m. That's well into the day. Like 9 to noon is not a proper fishing time for the San Francisco Bay Area. So
got it.
And there's kind of where the entire like everyone in the Modesto area, and that's when he started appearing on the news all the time too. They just like assumed that he had done it.
Yeah, so this is like classic husband did it. Yes. Kind of deal. Did they ever find the dog?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So sorry. When Scott returns home, the dog is there, but it still has its leash on. So the dog's just kind of around the house, but Lacey is gone.
Okay. I feel like that's the most unbelievable part. Yeah.
So Lacey is missing for over 4 months. During this time, Scott is all over the news. Media's following him everywhere, and pretty much everybody assumes that he did it.
Yeah.
Which you kind of see why. Like, it's interesting. So one thing that was kind of a nail in his coffin, Scott's mistress, one of several that he had had over the course of his relationship with Lacey, gets in contact with police to start working with them, saying that Scott had told her in their like couple-month relationship that his wife had, on December 9th, he had disclosed to her that his wife, he's a recent widower, And his wife had died, and this will be his first Christmas without her. So that was on December 9th, and she had went missing on December 24th of that year.
Fucking sketch.
So, yeah. So this woman had no idea that he was currently married. He obviously lied to her and, like, so was just saying that he was, like, looking for something new and got out of a relationship, and then finally, like, was like, oh, no, my wife actually died.
This is really reminding me, which we'll probably cover this at some point, but do you know what I'm talking about? The Colorado story where the guy killed his children and his wife, his pregnant wife?
I think so. Was that one semi-recent? He was on the news being like, I have no idea what happened. And then a day later, it was him. And it's like, yeah.
Like, yeah, it was like, it didn't seem like it was him at first. And then it really did. And it was him. But yeah, he had a mistress too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. And so she actually started working with police. And during the time of late December through April, when he's eventually arrested, they record basically every single call he places with to her and from her. So they're recording all of these different stories that he's giving her of what's going on.
Yeah, and this is, like, not known to the public at the time.
Correct, yeah. Okay, so cool. She's, like, a police informant.
Wow, what a life to get thrown into.
Yeah, so her name was...
Could you imagine being like, I met this guy on Tinder, he's great, and then, like, all of a sudden you're a police informant.
Right? And so it was actually one of her friends introduced him, like, through a friend of a friend. So, like, a friend covered for him about Lacey, and then, like, was like, oh, you should meet Amber. So her name was Amber Fry, and she was a massage therapist from Fresno, California. Or Fresno, Nevada? Fresno. Wherever that is.
Fuck that friend.
Right?
I mean, like, whoever set them up. Yeah. Like, they're... whatever. Yeah, you shouldn't help somebody cheat.
So, on October 3rd, 2003, a couple is walking their dog in Richmond Point, Isabel Regional Shoreline Park, which is north of Berkeley and part of the San Francisco Bay.
Okay.
And the couple finds a decomposing, well-preserved body of a late-term male fetus with the umbilical cord still attached. Which, umbilical cord, not spelled in any way you thought.
It's UM, right?
It sure is. Good for you.
Yeah,
I always thought it was the name. Umbilical.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ambulatory, that's how I, like, that's where my mind went to.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think I've seen it before. That's not the reason I know. Like, seen it spelled.
Not
yeah.
Seen
it. I'm childless. I have not had my first child yet.
You don't Google pictures of the reproductive system post and pre-birth. So one day later, in 1 mile east, a walker finds the decapitated and, decapitated corpse and missing limbs of a pregnant woman. DNA results come back on April 18, 2003 that verifies the bodies belong to Lacey and her unborn son, Connor Peterson.
Do you know how far apart they were found? I didn't...
1 mile.
That. Okay.
So a mile apart. The exact date and cause of the death was never determined, but her cervix was still intact, meaning that she did not give a natural vaginal birth.
Yeah.
She had suffered 2 cracked ribs, which the doctors could also not verify if what was suffered pre or post-mortem.
Okay.
Lacey's upper torso had been emptied out of all of her internal organs, cut open, but her uterus was intact, and then it expanded with lower-level decomposition. So because the uterus was still, like, had good... So, like, basically, all these medical terms means that Lacey was decapitated, her limbs... And the baby was left inside, and the uterus, like, kept its nutrients for a few days, and the baby eventually, like, expelled from the corpse.
How do they end up a mile apart? How are people so messy with the birth? Not after they die.
So the bodies are, like, what's believed is the that the bodies were dumped at sea, so she would have died, like, on a boat and then, like, floated to shore, and then she floated somewhere else.
They had floated
to shore at some point, but I kind of was wondering that, too. But it did show, like, the baby had come to, like, born dead, but still, like, left the body still, like, naturally still. However, very gross, but the body, yeah. So it took a while because they really couldn't even say it was her.
Yeah, there's like, not even a term for that kind of birth. Yep.
So, like I said, during this time, Scott was under huge media scrutiny, including, like, especially after Amber Fry came forward. But on the same day that the bodies were the identities were verified of the bodies, Scott was arrested. Was arrested by La Jolla Golf Course, where he claimed to be meeting his brother and his dad for a round of golf. When the police pulled him over in his Mercedes, his dark hair had been bleached blonde.
Mercedes?
So, yeah, he drove a Mercedes. His hair had been bleached blonde. He had $15,000 of cash. His car was filled with, like, bags with changes of clothes and, like, severe camping gear and, or, like, level, like...
Severe really, camping
gear. Yeah. Like... survival and camping gear. So like the he was serious about being outside, so like he was going outside with very severe camping gear.
Wow, this is just bright laundry of
12 Viagra tablets, 4 cell phones, and true driver's license. And what? Wait, what's the Christmas one? 4 cell phones, 2 driver's license, 1 golden. No. Oh God. On the first
Partridge in a pear tree.
That's my true love cake. Yeah. 12 Viagra tablets, 4 cell phones, 2 driver's license, and a partridge in a pear tree. Happy holidays from Wild and Battle Case File Files.
Oh my goodness.
So he claimed that he had been staying in his car and bleached his hair to avoid media attention, because obviously like paparazzis and everyone in the news were following around everywhere over the course of these months. But police and prosecutors saw this as a clear indication that he was about to flee to Mexico.
Yeah, that's also just like the contents of a normal gay man in California. Bleach blonde hair, a bunch of cash, some Viagra.
Well, like minus the...
a Mercedes.
Minus the cash and the amount of Viagra tablets. Yeah. Like my car also kind of looks like that. Like I have a bunch of clothes, all my camping gear, severe camping gear is in there. And like, yeah, there's certain days where I very much look like I'm living out of my car.
Oh yeah, same.
But I also don't. My wife's not missing at the time, so I get away with it. Yeah. A handful of Viagra pills. So on April 21st, 2003, Scott Peterson is arraigned in Stanislaus County and charged with 2 felony counts of murder with premeditation and special circumstances. He pleads not guilty.
So, okay. I mean, this is a whole political debate, but they count the kid as a murderer.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to get into this, and like new laws were actually put into place after this case based on this, and they're called... Let's wait, guys. We're going to wait to figure out what it's called.
So. Is it called Peterson's Law?
Close.
Really?
It's Lacey and Connor's Law.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like the Miranda rights, yeah.
So the trial was moved from Stanislaus, which I think is the... I just keep saying as Stannis is like for the character from Game of Thrones. I like...
Oh, Baratheon?
Yeah, that's really all I can say it. His trial was then moved to San Mateo County because the judge in Stanislaus County believed that everyone had already made up their mind and had been too close to the media attention. So pretty similar to, like, the case when they were to do Derek Chauvin's trial, like, up in International Falls or just, like, somewhere else.
Yeah.
But ended up hosting it in Minneapolis.
I mean, that's fair, though. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, this was a national case, I'm pretty sure.
And that's the same where Chauvin was, like, everyone in the world knows about this case. Yeah. Like, it's not going to make a difference. You're just going to get a way whiter jury up north.
Yeah. That makes sense. Oh, speaking of, Kyle Rittenhouse case is going to be...
Are they still in deliberations?
Yeah.
It was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Noah's Kenosha. Yeah, they went to deliberation. Closing arguments were yesterday. Oh, wait, what's today? Fuck.
Wednesday.
Closing arguments were Monday.
Monday, and then they went to deliberations yesterday, and then they're in deliberation still.
And I'm assuming they will probably be in deliberation until at least Friday.
Yeah. That one's insane. Like, and I've been hearing so many things about the judge being so weird and, like, so nice to him and, like, all these things.
Same. I heard that the judge led a round of applause after he spoke for, like, something that he said. This might not be real, but it was, like, a TikTok comment, so I don't... You can fact check me out. Yeah. I have no idea if that's true, but... I did listen to some of it, but people were saying the prosecution was really bad, but I didn't think he did that bad. It's just, I don't know, it's a very weird case that, I don't know, to me it seems obvious that an underage kid can't bring a gun that he doesn't technically own to a fucking different state and shoot people. Like, that shouldn't be allowed.
No, but it is, and it's so insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see how this shakes out, but...
Yeah, and then everybody on the internet is like, well, the one guy, I think he was, like, a child molester, one of the people he killed, and the other person was, like, a wife abuser or something, which everybody's like, he killed, like, 2 bad people, and it's like, sure, yeah, but also, it's like, nah, he knew that. Yeah. And if he did, then it was premeditated.
And their crimes are not... punishable related. By death either without law. Like, they're, yeah, it's just so lawless. But have you seen the Jessica Chastain movie, Miss Sloan?
No.
It's all about, like, gun control. Like, she's a lobbyist that's always worked for, like, the NRA and, like, the other side of things. And then someone, like, basically, like, dares her to come for zero money to be on the, like, no-gun side of the debate to see if she can get a law passed. So, like, the whole movie's just, like, about that. But there's this whole thing where one of her people that works for her it was like survived a school shooting in high school, and like she finds out about that and starts to like exploit her for it to like make her tell her story, and then it like hits obviously like big news, and she's like the CNN like talking head as this bill's getting passed, and then someone with a gun like comes to like tell her off, and then another guy like saves her, and he's a registered gun carrier, like a former police officer.
But that never fucking happens in real life.
Exactly, but that's like exact like the epitome of like the gun debate of like if the crazies get them, then like you should have them, which I totally understand. Like I I'm not a gun guy, but, like, I kind of want to be a gun guy. Like, I see where I could, like, where it would be very useful. But I would want it more for, like, hiking in the mountains and grizzly bears.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not, like, really up to date on the debate anymore because I'm a lot less into arguing with people than I used to be.
Well, but we need every teacher to be armed to the teeth, and that's the only way to get guns under control in this country.
But there's, like, a thing that's, like, okay, how many fucking it was a joke. Just for everyone listening, this stays in the episode. But, no, like, how many mass shootings have there been, and how many of them have been stopped by somebody with a gun? Like, fucking none of them.
Yeah.
There's even a story, I'm pretty sure it was in Canada, but of these people at a mall, there was a mall shooting, and somebody who was a registered gun carrier, who had a gun there, brought their gun up to stop the guy, and then didn't shoot because they were too nervous and they didn't think that they like had the proper like training, and it's like, or like that they would miss and hit somebody, and it's like, okay, well, like, obviously isn't the, like, if we think people should have guns to stop people with guns, but nobody's using these guns to stop people with guns, then what the fuck are we doing? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
No, it really doesn't. And so you can get trained and everything else, but yeah, exactly, it's like, yeah, it's just not necessary. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just, like, unnecessary. And it's in the Bill of Rights, but it's also before we had doors and...
Yeah.
How, like, ugh, it's just insane. Like...
Yeah, there's some crazy shit in there.
Yeah. But at least we just solved gun control on this podcast. Like, good for us.
Yeah, so Kyle Rittenhouse. Guilty!
Yeah, super good. Like, I do hate those kind of cases where, like, you know they killed someone, but, like, where they get, like, and then I just, like, put into his, like, just stories of everybody else.
A fucked context, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could see him getting away with it, but I also don't know a ton about the case.
Yeah. Like, stand your ground. Well, Minnesota, but, like, they're not breaking into his house. Whatever, yeah.
You left Illinois and went to Wisconsin. Like, I just don't understand why it's even, like, controversial.
Like, but, yeah, like, if you had a baseball bat and then ended up shooting someone, like, oh, yeah, I picked up, like, just out in the wild. Like, yeah.
And he was 17. Like, he literally legally couldn't own a gun. Like, I just don't understand how none of, like, how it's a debate. Yeah.
So the trial starts on June 1st, 2004. Scott Peterson is convicted of first-degree murder of Lacey Peterson and second-degree murder of his unborn son, Connor. He was sentenced to death, and Judge Alfred DeLucci called the murder of Lacey cruel, uncaring, heartless, and callous. So,
sums it up.
Yeah. Years and years later, in March 2019, California Governor Gavin Newsom issued a moratorium for all 737 prisoners on death row in California, including Scott Peterson. So this order postponed all executions for the duration of Newsom's tenure as governor. So he can't, like, eradicate the death penalty in California, but he can, like, push it off. Because, like, as long as I'm governor, we're not nuking anyone.
Okay.
So California is
now... It sound like you put him in a microwave.
I don't know how they do it down there. I don't think
you nuke them, but...
No. I think it's lethal injection.
Probably.
Which, there was this whole episode on The Good Wife where someone's going to death row. Maybe it was The Good Fight. One of the two. Both excellent. But, so someone's on death row, and then it's failed, and so it goes in, like, this whole... So, like, they give him the shot, but it doesn't work, he lives. So it goes into, like, this whole thing, and, like, the warden's calling, like, out-of-state, like, wardens to, like, try to get their poison, and, like, but then, like, they put out this whole thing, and they save the guy in the end. It's a very good episode. But you learn a lot about, like, death row and, like, how many appeals. And this kind of goes into it a little bit of, like, of the 737, there were, like, only 25 prisoners that were basically, like, set to be put to death in this time of the moratorium because all of their legal appeals were still in action. So, like, you can appeal and appeal and appeal, not, like, your death penalty case until, like, you hit your last one. And so Peterson's family was in favor of Newsom's action, but noted that they were, like, likely to be unaffected by it, whether they were to put, like, lift them in a moratorium, because he's good for legal challenges through 2027.
Yeah, because all that shit takes forever.
Yeah. And, yeah, you can just keep.
You can do whatever.
Yeah, you just keep appealing. Yeah. That's the whole Court of Appeals.
Yeah. Or even Kyle Rittenhouse. That was over a year ago. Like.
Yeah. Happens so. Wheel of Justice is a slow. So, the death and, like I said, the death of Lacey and Connor Peterson led to the passage of the Unburned Victims of Violence Act, also known as the Lacey and Connor's Law. So, on April 1st, 2004, Sharon Rocco, who is Lacey's mother, and her husband, Ron Gransky, were in attendance at the White House when President George W. Bush signed the bill into law. This law protects any... This act provides that under federal law, any person who causes the death or injury of an unborn child while in the commission of a crime upon a pregnant woman will be charged with separate offenses. So meaning that if you kill a pregnant woman, you'll be charged for the death of the child as well.
And I feel like you hear about that a lot, so it's probably actually put to use.
Yeah, absolutely. About a year later, after the law is put into, or the act is put into law.
The law is put into act?
No.
Into force.
No, it's an act. The bill becomes an act, and the act becomes a law. Watch. Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh.
Now a bill becomes law.
No, wait. Oh, is it school? No, it's...
That's... Schoolhouse Rock. Schoolhouse Rock.
Is that what you...
Oh, fuck. I'm just a bill.
Yeah,
sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
I know it. I played it at a party.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So yes, they build, like, draft the bill. It becomes an act, and everyone's, like, acting for it, and then it becomes a law, and it's enacted.
Is Schoolhouse Rock the people that do Conjunction Junction?
What's your function? Those were the two bangers I know.
Yeah.
So in 2005, Stanislaus County Superior Court Judge Roger...
Roger.
B-E-A-U-C-H-E-S-N-E. I don't even know where to start with those syllables, or those vowels.
I think it's Bochen.
Bochen? Okay. Ruled that Scott was not entitled to collect Lacey's $250,000 insurance policy based on much upheld standing law that you can't profit off the crime you commit and commit. Like, kill your wife and get convicted for it and then get the $250,000. Come on, son. Like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
So... On August 24, 2020, in a 7-0 decision, the Supreme Court of California upheld Peterson's conviction but overturned his death sentence.
Okay.
Because Peterson's trial judge, Alfred DeLucci, who had died on February 26, 2008, he had dismissed jurors who opposed capital punishment without asking them whether they could still put their views aside and serve on the jury. So basically, like, do you oppose the death penalty? Yes. Okay, you're out. And then wouldn't have them serve on the jury, so that gave him that did not give Peterson the right to, like, a fair trial. Yeah. Exactly.
Which, whatever, people fucking lie all the time about shit, and, like, I don't know, I don't think anybody can really put their views aside.
Exactly.
I was confused in that when I was on jury duty, when they asked a question, which I don't think they asked of me, but they kept asking people, do you take an officer's statement as fact? And I was like, I feel like, yeah. Like,
it's,
I mean,
a statement.
Like, aren't we supposed to take everybody's statement as fact? Yeah. And, like, also, like, as an officer, like, yeah, I don't know. It was just confusing. I mean, like, I guess, yeah, unless, like, you're giving me reason not to. But, like, that's very vague. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Interesting. So, on December 22nd, 2021, so 2 months ago, California Superior Court Judge Ann Christine Musalo scheduled Peterson to be resentenced this November to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So, to date, he's no longer getting the death penalty, but he's still going to spend the rest of his life in prison. So, it's getting how many life sentences tacked on? We'll find out this month. Who knows?
Yeah. Whoa, okay. So, we still just don't know what happened.
No. But... In 2020, the Peterson family hired a private investigator to investigate some possible suspects within the murder of Lacey Peterson. Because to date, Scott Peterson still upholds his innocence in the crime.
Yeah.
And his family is all, like, still behind him as well. So.
Could you imagine if he just didn't do it and he was just a shady person? He's like, oh, fuck me. Like, I should have never cheated on my wife.
So this was a post that Janie Peterson runs a Facebook page called Scott Peterson Appeal, and there's a detail, on this page, there's a post that kind of goes through what, like, these two major tips that are, like, or two two things that kind of prove that, like, he, there's totally other suspects they could be looking into.
Yeah.
So in the post, it says Lacey went missing on December 24, 2002 at 7.5 months pregnant. Multiple calls to the police indicated she was last seen that morning walking their dog, Mackenzie, in her Modesto neighborhood. While she was on this walk, Scott was logged into a computer at his office and was soon to be en route to Berkeley Marina. These sightings of Lacey not only exonerate Scott, but they place Lacey in the neighborhood while another crime was being committed. See hashtag Medina burglary. So the Medina burglary happened in the Medina family home, which was directly across the street from the Peterson home. And their house was burglarized while they were out of town. And eventually two of the four people responsible were arrested for the crime because of all the media attention around, like, what happened. So someone, like, kind of copped out on two of their friends.
Yeah.
On January 2nd, 2003, so a couple days after Lacey had gone missing, Steve Todd and Glenn Pierce were arrested for the burglary across the street.
Hmm, that does throw a wrench in things.
So just for 4 days after
Steven Tyler.
4 days after Todd and Pierce were arrested, America's Most Wanted ran a story about Lacey's disappearance. And after the show's airing, an anonymous call came into their hotline, which is known as the AMW tip. Like other leads, this was a handwritten tip, and it was lost in over 48,000 pages of discovery, which was given to both sides of the prosecution and defense.
Yep.
For the trial. The caller said he had had a conversation with two men who were bragging about Lacey's murder. The first man was named, named individual, but known as John Doe, like, in obviously all the public documents. And the second man was unnamed, but the tipper gave description and knew where the second individual lived. It is reported that John Doe said, when they did it, they thought it was going to be just another murder case. Now it's the big case all over TV and news, and they are blaming the husband, and they are not getting any attention. John Doe went on to say how stupid everyone was for, like, not knowing it was them.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the end of the Facebook post. So that is verified that there was a burglary across the street, but there's also reports that happened on the 26th, not the 24th. But then there's also witnesses that said that they did see Lacey walking the dog and then having an altercation with two men who then followed her into the park.
Dude, what the fuck? Honestly, why are people so shitty that we can't, like,
nail it down?
Yeah.
Like, we'd come up with this. I know.
That people, like, somebody's lying.
So this is a Reddit post on our Unsolved Mysteries, which just kind of goes through, like, I just Googled, like, oh, wait, what is the case, like, for Scott Peterson? Because, like, that was kind of what the 2020 I was watching was, like, going through. And I was like, I have nothing to, like, hold on to that he didn't do it. Like, it's very clear that he did it. But, so these are seven things that, like, this person brought up. MacMac360, 4 years ago, you posted this on Reddit, and I found it today.
Good for him.
Yeah, so of the seven, several neighbors claim they witnessed Lacey Peterson walking her dog after they had seen Scott leave for the day. And there was evidence that he had arrived, like I said, on the work and logged into his computer and sent emails from the warehouse location. So he was not around where she had disappeared.
Yeah.
There's something about tracker dogs that apparently led detectives to a fishing pier where he had launched his boat, and that's just dumb when something saying, like, people are saying the dogs weren't qualified to be doing that. Like, keep the dog's qualifications out of this.
It was just somebody's random dog.
Yeah. But there are witnesses that were saying that several people had seen Scott on a boat that day, but it was a really small boat. So there's doubts that if he was loading his 7-month pregnant wife onto a boat, his small boat would have capsized, like, when he was dumping the body, or, like, by the time, which, like, I'm on my paddleboard, I could easily dump a body off my paddleboard without tipping over.
This would have to be, like, a stick.
Yeah. So, like, that's also something the defense team brought up, is, like, would it be possible to dump a 150-pound human-sized object from a small boat?
And easily.
They're saying that all tests indicate that the boat would capsize, but, like, I don't think so. Like,
not even if you just slid it off. I mean, I'm...
Right? Like...
I don't understand how it would capsize.
Yeah, like...
Or if you throw it off the back.
Use a kayak or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like this game would be a lot harder.
I think I could literally take an inner tube out another person on there and dump them.
Exactly. So, several witnesses reported seeing someone who looked like Lacey being harassed by two men in a park, and they were following her, and while she walked her dog around, were screaming at her. And the two other ones are how it made him seem really guilty that he had multiple IDs on him and bleached hair and a bunch of cash. But then people were, like, the argument here is he was being hounded by, like, press constantly. So, of course, he's going to change his appearance and, like, live a normal life. But I think you just not, everything he had on was sketchy.
Yeah, I think you can just fucking leave. Like, leave town and still cooperate with the police and just be like, I need to get out of here for obvious reasons.
And then the last one just brings up that the house across the street was broken into and the two men arrested that were kind of pointing fingers at each other and more people.
Yeah, so, which is sketchy because, like, I thought they lived in an upstanding neighborhood.
I know. But although they did say that there was a bunch, like, thousands and thousands of dollars and a bunch of stuff stolen from the house across the street. So upscale houses get robbed, too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, what, this girl gets murdered and a robbery in the same neighborhood? Not my neighborhood. Not my upscale neighborhood.
That's what Scott wanted everyone to think or, like, understand, but sorry, homie. Everyone still thinks you did it, bud.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the case of Lacey Peterson. Wow. And Connor Peterson.
Sad, that's just kind of like one we'll also probably never know what happened. Same with Gabby Petito.
It's small, yeah. Like I don't understand how like putting like something over the side and stepping back would make it capsize.
Yeah,
it's like a fishing boat. I mean, yeah. I understand that in that upscale neighborhood, like the guy next door probably has some yacht, but hey, it's Scott Peterson, sketchy man.
Yeah,
another sign.
Oh, or what about like a very large person in a boat? Like it's not like it would just capsize.
Wow, and that's why do they have to like make that up, like. So that wasn't, like, the seven things they had brought up, like, seven possibilities that they just, like, pulled from where?
Okay, have you ever heard of the South African paraplegic runner who killed his girlfriend? No. There was a joke, so I was watching New Girl and they made a joke about it, and I was wait, what is this? South African paraplegic runner, he killed his girlfriend, he was, like, in a Paralympic.
No, I've never heard.
So they made some joke about it. And I was like, wait, what is this? So I Googled literally South African paraplegic runner murder. And so it's Oscar Pistorius.
There's specific diet, specific.
So Oscar Leonard Carl Pistorius is a South African former professional sprinter and convicted murderer. Hell of a Wikipedia headline.
Yeah.
And then I feel horrible because I know I shouldn't have laughed at this. But, like, you know when you see something for the first time and it's just like, I've never seen it like that before. So it says that he was born November 22nd, 1986, and he's 34 years old, from South Africa, and his height's 5.2, and then in parentheses, in stumps, and I'm just, sorry, like,
it says what? In stumps?
Height, well, it's height 1.6 meters, which is 5.2 feet, in stumps, and I'm, like, I'm so sorry that I laughed really hard at that, but, like, in stumps means, like, in his, like, very scientific and, like, high quality, like, what do you call
it? Stump?
Oh, I just thought that, like, South African people called it stumps instead of way
inches.
Yeah.
No, it's saying, like, that stumps.
That's legit. I mean, they call,
no, like, yeah, that I totally get, house. Yeah.
That's a stump, like,
well, I feel like that's a, like,
what, 7 inches?
But, so, like, he has, what would you call, like, it's not fake leg or, like, it's not a peg leg. It's a prosthetic. Yeah. Thank you.
Carbon
so, like,
fiber spring prosthetic.
Okay. So that's what I couldn't stop laughing. Legs. Is like, why wouldn't this say, like, without prosthetic or, like, with prosthetic? Like, why in stumps? So, like, literally the stumps, like, do they mean, like, his stumps on his legs or, like, are the stumps
if
what they call?
That's the term. This needs to be changed. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now you guys, like, look. That's literally what it says when you Google him. That's his, like, that's his Google thing is 5.2 feet or 5 feet 2 inches in stumps.
Like, if he's wearing stumps.
Yes. But, like, why not say in prosthetics?
We're just not up and up and on the, you know, medical terminology.
So, if there's any double amputees listening and they're offended by the laughing at the stumps, it's only because it's on Google and I was surprised they didn't say without prosthetics or with prosthetics. What did it look in stumps?
In stumps. I totally thought that it was a legitimate measurement system.
Are you only 6 feet and two stumps? I'm so sorry, sir. He's just a little guy. He's just 4 feet through three stumps. I can add my phone because I want to read that. So yes, the reason we're talking about this, also his nicknames are Blade Runner and the Fastest Man on No Legs.
Blade Runner?
And the Fastest Man on No Legs.
Awesome. Pretty cool. His legs look like blades, so it's fitting.
Yeah, so he has a bunch of awards, so, like, but I want to get to the girlfriend. So in 2012, he was the first amputee to compete in track events at the Olympics, and he was later found guilty of murdering his girlfriend on Valentine's Day, 2013.
Okay, how? Okay, people who murder people and then go into some sort of, like, limelight position where they're, like, in the news. Like, how do you not think that stuff's gonna come out?
The track star made headlines in February 2013 after his girlfriend, South African model Reeva Steenkamp, was found dead at his home in Pretoria, South Africa. According to police, Steenkamp was shot and killed on the morning of February 14, 2013, with bullet wounds to the head and one arm. Pistorius was soon named a person of suspect suspect in the case. So, 5 days after Steenkamp's death on February 19, 2013, during a hearing at a court in Pretoria, Oscar Pistorius admitted to unintentionally shooting Steenkamp in his home on Valentine's Day.
Accidentally? Is that what you just said?
He said he went on to say that he had mistaken his girlfriend for an intruder and shot her through the locked bathroom door. She was in the bathroom and he thought he had woken up and thought she was an intruder and shot four times to a closed door and shot her in the head and arm. She died immediately.
Were there holes in the door?
Yeah.
Okay. How did he get her head?
Seems awfully accurate right off the bat.
So pretty immediately he obviously goes like not guilty or like guilty, but like tries to plead out. But they try to get him on premeditated murder.
Yeah.
So it's a little different how everything's kind of played out because obviously it's not our U.S. judicial system, but it's still like, messy. South Africa was colonized however many years ago, so it still has like the like what our government was based on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll roll back on the colonialism. Colonization, colonialism is not the same thing.
60-something countries celebrate independence from Great Britain.
Crazy.
So many. I mean, that's basically it. He went to trial and they proved that it was not it was premeditated, and he is still in jail.
Yeah.
Appealing, but still, like, even if it was an intruder, like, you can't really shoot him four times in your own home.
What the fuck? Why would an intruder be in the bathroom with the door closed? And, like, I'm robbing your house, but I gotta shit. Like,
yeah. And there's, like, all, I think I was reading that he, like, someone diagnosed him with an anxiety, a disorder, and, like, just a whole bunch of things. That, like, he was just having a bad day. He got scared. But, yeah, so he shot and murdered his girlfriend. I remember hearing about that one. But, yeah, the whole 5'2" and stumps, that's a stumper. That one stumped me.